This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today you're in for a real treat with a children's singing group that has been around for 47 years. Not only are they legendary, but they are the most beloved children's entertainers in Canadian history. I'll give you a little hint before I tell you more.
Skinnamarinky-dinky-dink, skinnamarinky-doo, I love you. Skinnamarinky-dinky-dink, skinnamarinky-doo, I love you. I love you in the morning and in the afternoon. I love you in the evening underneath the moon. Skinnamarinky-dinky-dink, skinnamarinky-doo, I love you too. Boop-boop-wee-doo.
Oh, I love that. I could hear that all the time. That was vintage Sharon Lois and Bram, who had a beyond successful television show in Canada on the CBC back in the 80s. I remember it well. And then on Nickelodeon, where they were put on the map, as it were. They've won numerous Juno Awards. They've performed at Carnegie Hall, the Lincoln Center on Broadway, and even at the White House. And just as Sharon Lois and Bram brought happiness to four generations of children and their grown-ups, Sharon Hampson and her daughter Randy have continued to share the music of Sharon Lois and Bram with yet another generation of families. It's incredible. This sing-along gathering is a real family affair, featuring Sharon and Randy, with Randy's son Ethan on guitar. Sing-along highlights include such beloved Sharon Lois and Bram favorites as Tingalio, She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain, and of course, the iconic Skinnamarink. Sharon and Randy, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. It's so delightful to have you both here.
Thank you. What a lovely introduction. Thank you.
So I have to tell you a funny story. When we were preparing for the show, and if you know me, I'm a big researcher, and people have called me the female Brian Linehan. So I called Indigo to get a copy of your latest book, one of your latest books, this beautiful board book, Skinnamarink, which we're going to talk about later on in the show. And this lovely guy at Indigo who answered the phone, Josh, said, oh, you can pick up the book any day, like even Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to hold it for you for four days or so. And I said, I actually need it by Wednesday at the latest, because I'm interviewing the children's entertainers on Zoomer Radio on Thursday. And Josh said, oh my God, Sharon Lois and Bram, they're a national treasure. And then Josh said, you know, I grew up on those guys. And so did my kid. And it was just like, even down to like getting the book from Indigo, there was a reaction, which, as you know, is, there's millions of stories, but it was so lovely that it really touched me. And his voice softened on the phone. And it was, you know, it just brings out the best in everyone. So it was lovely. And he was in awe that I was doing the interview with you today. So thank you, Josh, for being so lovely on the phone and for getting me the book. That's so fantastic. And I just thought that says it all. And it's true, everyone, we've talked about this, all ages and all generations, four so far, maybe it's going on five now, love you and go to your concerts, and everyone loves it and everyone gets it. And Sharon, I wondered if when you began performing as a folk singer at age 17 in cafes, having studied music, I believe it was the piano, cello, and guitar that you studied, that you would become part of this iconic children's group that would change the face of the children's music industry in Canada forever, as it were.
You think I could have imagined such a thing? Not in my wildest dreams. And it was all so just, life unfolded in unexpected, lovely ways.
Yes.
And you sure have done your research. You're right. I played piano as a child through all the years growing up. And in high school, I played cello, which I loved. And I loved my high school music teacher. And I had a beau who taught me how to play the guitar. But eventually, once I got together with Lois and Bram, Bram is a stunning guitar player and a wonderful accompanist. There was no need for me to do that anymore. So life with Sharon, Lois, and Bram came as a complete, utter gift.
Wow. What a gift. What a beautiful gift. And in 1978, I couldn't believe when I read that you printed 5,000 copies of your first album, One Elephant, Deux Elephants, and the folk-style album with this eclectic musical mix became one of the fastest-selling children's albums ever produced in Canada. What do you think it was about that first album released by Elephant Records that was so magical and just had that Midas touch?
You know, it's hard to know for sure, but I think the album was full of variety, with all different kinds of music on it, which reflected our tastes. And we did not skimp. From the very beginning, we said, children deserve the best the world has to offer.
Nice.
Food and housing and music. And so we hired the best musicians, the best arrangers. And, you know, we put all of that into that recording. And in addition, I think society was ready for something like that. People weren't hurting. They could afford to spend, it was probably $7 on an unfamiliar, unknown album. Mm. And didn't hurt that we got a stunning review from Michelle Landsberg, who said, simply the best.
She said, simply the best. Was that in the Globe or the Star?
It was in the Star.
Wow.
And we used that review, that quote, for our entire career.
Wow. I'll chime in too. I mean, there was classical music. There was an Indigenous lullaby. There was pop song. There was folk music, like just every musical genre.
Yes.
And, you know, she's not going to say it, but I can say it. I think that there was an unexpected chemistry between the three of them, and they worked every permutation. So Sharon and Lois sang together. Sharon sang when Bram was playing a classical song on guitar. They sang the three of them together. There was just a magic that you can't put your finger on. It just is. Their voices really worked together.
And my husband, her dad, he did a lot of arrangements for us and helped us with vocals and all of that stuff. He said, your three voices work together perfectly.
Wow.
Who knew? You know, that was good luck for us.
And you've said in interviews that you liked each other. Like you didn't just gig together or perform in the studio together. When it was birthdays and other occasions, you still got together, which is a true test of an incredible chemistry, which you always have had, which is so cool.
That continues to this day.
I'll tell the cute story about how we gathered.
Well, when Sharon and Bram were doing their 40th anniversary tour, we had three musicians traveling, and me, we were all traveling together, and we would fly in a plane together. Then we would get to the venue. We would eat a meal. We'd do sound check. We'd do the show. We'd go back to the hotel. Then we'd go to somebody's room and just sit around and
hang out.
And do it all again the next day.
Probably jam a little bit too, or maybe you were
being together.
So and great.
I'll tell you, my dad died 18 years ago. Bram is my mother's longest relationship.
Well, that's really interesting. I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of course, I only spoke to him an hour ago.
Sharon, Lois, and Bram all had very happy, successful, long-term marriages. Bram is in a subsequent happy marriage. But really, their longest relationship is with each other.
Wow. That's very cool. That's very cool. And I love that you said the legacy continues, because it does for Canada's trio of family entertainers. And Randy, you were actually always involved in Sharon, Lois, and Bram as a little girl. What was it like for you to watch all of this as a young child? And did you ever imagine or dream that you would become part of it one day, not just behind the scenes, which I know you did for years, but on camera and front and center as you're doing now?
I don't think so. By the time they filmed the Elephant Show, I was not a kid anymore. And I was sad about that. I was sad that they hadn't started sooner so that I could have been one of the kids on the Elephant Show too.
Yes.
And truly, you know, when Bram started talking about retiring, people said to me, you know, you should sing with your mom. And from time to time, just for fun, Lois had suggested that there's a fundraiser called Riverdale Share. And one year she couldn't do it. And she said, get Randy to do it with you. And it was fun, but it really wasn't obvious to her. And I think she wasn't ready to retire, but it took a little bit of convincing.
And COVID helped. COVID helped.
Yes.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I wanted to say, what is one of your fondest memories as a young girl watching your mother and her fellow group members, Lois and Bram, doing all this? And of course, your dad, Joe Hampson, who wrote a lot of the music. I don't know if people know that. And he was part of the Canadian folk singing band, The Travelers, which was a huge deal back in the day. And now your children are even involved in the group. So it's really like a family affair. But is there a childhood memory for you that stands out where you were just sitting and watching?
I used to love going to the recording studio and watching it all unfold. Yes. And really, Sharon Lewis and Bram started in the studio. They didn't start doing concerts together. So
unusual.
Going to see them, I remember the electricity and the excitement the day that they went to do their first concert at Young People's Theater. And actually, just remembering the nerves, the excitement and energy in the room, because it was just filled with friends and people who wanted them to succeed.
Lovely.
It was just a really, really cool experience. But I got to be backstage at the O'Keefe Center and at Massey Hall and at Lincoln Center. You know, I got to run around everywhere. So
got to be with us
all
at the
access.
United Nations.
Yeah. That was incredible.
That was auspicious.
Elaine Overholt was with us on that too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's so incredible. And you've even said, Sharon, that Massey Hall was a big deal. To be at Massey Hall, that was like making it. We know it went even more to the Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall, and we're going to talk about the White House later. But at Massey Hall, that was pretty cool stuff.
Well, Massey Hall was the place that I went to see people perform. That was a big deal. And also, it was the place I went to. I think our high school music stuff was there. So I was very connected to it. And for me, a real stunning highlight was a show that we did at Massey Hall. And after the show, my high school music teacher, Mr. Snell, came backstage. He was there with his daughter. I didn't know that he was there. And he came backstage, and I was over the moon. And backstage at Massey Hall for us was packed because all our family and friends were there, and it was not a large space. And I said in my big, loud voice, "Look, everyone, it's Mr. Snell."
Wow.
Youthful moment. It was thrilling. So Massey Hall has a strong connection.
Special place
in
your heart.
We did so many great shows there. We performed there many, many, many. We, next to Gordon Lightfoot, who performed the most shows there of anyone.
Wow.
We were second in that role.
That's so cool.
It's a lot of different numbers, though.
I love that. That always reminds me of the number one most appearances ever on the Ed Sullivan Show were Wayne and Schuster, not the Beatles.
Isn't that interesting? 67
appearances
that
they had on that show. What I also found fascinating, and I think that the youngest generation doesn't know this as well, that not only you created these wonderful albums, so many albums and songbooks, but I saw what these songbooks look like, how you would actually open up a full-size colored poster of all of you, like a David Cassidy poster, but of the three of you in full-blown, gorgeous, you know, eight-part color, we used to call it in the industry. And there's pictures and the lyrics to all the songs. And this was like a treasure trove for children to enjoy. And also back in the day, getting a vinyl record was an all-encompassing activity, right? There was no internet. There was no social media. This was all you had. This was everything. Can you tell me more about the reaction to these songbooks? Because I saw it in one of the videos and I just thought, oh my God, this is what kids got to have. The songbook with the colored photographs, the lyrics, and all of it.
It wasn't just the songbook for kids. One of the things they wanted was for it to be a tool for educators as well.
And for parents, you know, who played the guitar. There were guitar chords, there was melody.
Wow.
And then there were pictures and there were instructions on how to play the games. And we loved doing all of that. The thing is that the three of us started out working in classrooms with children early on before we were a trio.
Yes.
And so we learned about what teachers need and what supports help them. And how the music, we could enhance the music. So we were delighted to create those products. I have to say, when you talk about albums, I mean, children would walk around holding the album cover because they looked at the pictures on the album. Yes. They could identify who was singing to them. So they felt connected to us. I'm a bit sad about the way the industry has gone now because there is not that opportunity.
But there's a huge trend to coming back to vinyl. We're going to talk about that because you've got a great vinyl that people can get their hands on. It's so exciting.
We're in favor of that.
And then there was the big turning point, the Elephant Show on CBC, which of course we grew up all watching, and your original Sharon, Lois, and Bram on the Elephant Show. And then of course that was parlayed into the United States, thanks to Nickelodeon. And that must have been a trip, Sharon, to have spent the 80s in your original trio, starting at the Elephant Show at the CBC, watching it then air in reruns in the U.S. cable network Nickelodeon, which went all the way to 1996. And what a game changer that was. Each 30-minute show had songs and sketches, and this children's entertainer, Eric Nagler, who I believe is still alive at 84 years old.
You
had special guests like Jane Eastwood, who I've interviewed, and Andrea Martin, and many others. What are your memories of that time in your life, starting just with the Elephant Show at the CBC? Like, wow.
You know, we were so excited to do a TV show, and it was a big learning curve for us because we'd never done anything like that, and we got better and better doing it. But we had a lot of support and a lot of help. But before we went to the United States, I have to say that the Canadian audiences embraced us. And that was the trigger for our success, I believe.
Wow.
Then they saw us at Nickelodeon, saw us. I can't even remember how we came to Nickelodeon. But our career changed dramatically.
Yes.
For two reasons. Number one, we got really famous in the States really quickly. Mm-hmm. And we traveled, we played at we'd play at a state fair with, I can't even imagine how many people were, thousands and thousands,
20,000
people.
Yeah.
We played at beautiful outdoor venues in New Jersey. We played at many gorgeous outdoor venues. But so that was one dramatic change. The other dramatic change was Nickelodeon put the show on in the morning. It was never on in the mornings in Canada. It was on after school.
Oh.
So it changed. The devoted audience age changed.
Yes.
Who's home in the morning?
Little kids.
So our audience became much more focused on younger children.
Wow.
I have to tell you, I think it would have happened anyway because children are listening to adult music much younger. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
now,
yeah,
there's a very narrow window for children to be allowed to be children and just listen to children's music, which is sad.
Yeah. You mentioned the 20,000 people in the audience. Did you get nervous, Sharon? Like, that's a lot of people. You don't get the nerves.
I got nervous in the early days of our career, debilitatingly nervous. But particularly at the beginning where I thought, when I go on the stage by myself, I make it or break it on my own. I'm not responsible to anyone else. But I got over that after a while. And we were so used to working together and working with our wonderful band and felt confident about what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And we were having fun.
Yes.
And
it also helps to know that it's okay to make a mistake and to show children that grown-ups make mistakes.
Yes.
And they laugh about them and shake them off and move on. Like, the stakes for that weren't high.
Right.
Oh, no, we did that.
Right.
I mean, we had occasions where, on three different occasions, running onto the stage, one of us fell down. And what did we do? Another time, we started a song, Bram played, we started a song a cappella, and then he played the accompaniment on the guitar. And we came in with the guitar, and it was awful. It was wrong. So, I mean, in those situations, we laugh.
Yeah,
hysterically.
Yeah.
I mean,
lovely.
And so what if you make a mistake?
Yeah. It's
okay.
It's about enjoying, and it's not about perfectionism. So you're actually teaching other lessons in addition to the music and the actions and all of it, all of it. I mentioned before that you played at the Lincoln Center, Kennedy Center, Massey Hall, Carnegie Hall in New York City. But I think one of the biggest epiphanies must have been playing at the White House for the Clintons. And I'd love to hear both of your memories from the child's point of view and Sharon yours of performing at the White House for Hillary and Bill Clinton.
We played at the Easter Egg Roll, which is a big event that they have at Easter on the outside.
On the lawn. Yeah.
So that's where we performed, but we got to meet President Clinton and Hillary, and had a brief encounter with them, had a little coffee brunch in the White House, and then we got to meet them, and it was thrilling. It was beyond thrilling.
I know you have a documentary coming up. Are we going to get a shot of that wonderful photograph of you with the Clintons that you have in your home?
I'm sure that will make it in there.
It's better. They took that photo and we were not allowed to use it for all those many years for PR purposes. So yes, we never did. It hangs in my wall in my kitchen, but now I think nobody cares.
Now you can bring it forth. And Randy, what about for you watching that? Like,
none of us got to go with them to the White House. No spouses, no kids. Grant and our keyboard player, Grant Slater and Kirk Elliott and Steve Heathcote, who drummed for many, many years. I think that was his first gig.
Really?
Yeah.
You see, that's the kind of stuff that Randy knows that I don't remember. She's my memory.
What I love about the picture of them with Bill and Hill is that Bill manages to have he's so tall, he has his arm around
Bram
and my mom. Like, his hand is on my mother's shoulders. And apparently when they were done, he gently pushed Bram's back.
Just a little.
Just time to go. Photo walk is over.
Yeah,
very cute.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. This is heady stuff. And speaking of heady stuff, you're 2002 becoming members of the Order of Canada. And I can't even, like, and Adrian Clarkson presenting that award to you, that huge honor to you. That, I mean, that's talk about heady. And I saw the emotion. And by the way, everyone listening, you can actually watch this on YouTube. If you Google Sharon, Lois, and Bram, you will actually see a video of you guys being bestowed this wonderful honor, Adrian Clarkson giving you your Order of Canada. So you can actually watch this, guys. And in fact, when this particular episode goes to our YouTube channel, I might even include that in there.
Judy, I'll tell you, there's a moment where they're standing and the honor is being read, and Lois is in the middle and she slides her arms through my mom and Bram's. When I watch it, I get choked up every time.
Oh, I know. So did I. I know. I know exactly the moment you're talking about. It's just, I think there was a sudden realization, wait a minute, we've done a lot of stuff. We've won all the Junos. We've done Carnegie and Lincoln Center and all the rest. But this is auspicious. This is something else. And I know I get choked up.
To be recognized in your own country, there's nothing to compare to that.
Of course, it's just incredible. So that was the Order of Canada. That was pretty incredible. So I said this in the virtual green room off the top. I found it fascinating when I heard that there was an album, the only album ever recorded with Sharon and Bram as a duo, called Sharon, Bram and Friends. And most of the songs on that album were written by Joe Hampson, your husband, your father. And all of the songs were produced by Glenn Morley, most wonderful arranger in Canada, as far as I'm concerned, and his beautiful wife, who we all know and love, vocal coach to the celebrities, to the stars, Elaine Overholt. And again, the beautiful arrangements. And I know you guys have worked with vocal coach, the stars, Elaine Overholt, for years. So I spoke to her. She's a, I
she
had to get her from afar. They're in Saint Martin. And this is what she said about, I was really excited. This was one of those moments. Like, I remember when I worked at the CBC and we'd get like a news item in at the last minute and would make it onto the telecast, the broadcast. So Elaine said, "They are dear, dear people. And I love them to pieces." And yes, Glenn was a huge part of their recent recordings, fixing up old recordings for re-release, etc. And as Glenn does, always the guy behind the scenes, and I worked on their vocals and some re-releases of a few tunes, especially a new recording of an old tune written by Sharon's late husband, Joe. Talk about peace. Its lyrics are so apropos for today's world. Can you tell us just about Elaine and Glenn's contribution to your work and to your music? Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. And when we come back, we'll hear all about the incredible contribution of Elaine Overholt and Glenn Morley. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And just before the break, I was asking you, Sharon and Randy, about the tremendous contribution that Elaine Overholt and Glenn Morley had on your music. Can you tell us more?
Well, Elaine came into our lives a really long time ago as a vocal coach and sometimes arranger.
And producer, right?
And very good friend. And she traveled with us. And we always sort of operated like families. Like in the summer, for example, she traveled with us and she brought her daughter, Alex, who's now the mother of two children. Yeah. Dear little Alex. And so she helped us in immense ways and with the many projects that she's referenced. And Glenn?
I can speak to that.
Yeah, because we didn't connect earlier.
So Sharon and Bram have a friend. He's a friend of mine too. His name is Josh Loveless, and he's in a group in the States called Need to Breathe. And Josh decided to make a children's record, and he wrote a song called Sing a Song for Me. And he wrote it and asked Sharon and Bram if they would sing on it with him.
I just interject that Josh is one of those adult fans who grew up on us, and we met quite by chance, and he became part of our lives. We know his family. Mm-hmm. He knows our families. We're strongly connected.
Yeah.
So he made this request, as Randy
Lovely.
Said.
And he came to Toronto to record that song. And Elaine came to work with all of them on their parts. Yeah. And we saw how much fun everyone was having in the studio. And Sharon and Bram had not recorded in more than 20 years. I went to sit down with Glenn and Elaine to talk about a project. And the project started with a song, and the song was Skinamarink, because we had a book coming out, so we wanted to record a new version of Skinamarink.
With the additional words that the book provides.
It just ended up unfolding yes. from there. There was a whole catalog of my dad's songs that he'd written over the years that we thought we could breathe new life into them. Yeah. And one by one, Glenn took them on, and he
yes.
worked patiently with me on arrangements. One of the songs had four parts, and one of the parts didn't have lyrics. It had a melody, but it didn't have lyrics. And he worked with me on creating the lyrics for that part. And he did all of the
wow.
instrumentation and arrangements, and he recorded those songs and he produced them. And he's so generous and
calm
and good-natured and patient. And it was just a joy to work with him. And I'm
yeah.
really proud of what Sharon and Bram created. It was very cool.
You're talking about Talk About Peace now, right?
It's actually this that we had the fourth part was called Everybody Talks, which is another peace song.
But they're all on that album.
But Elaine wow. worked wow. with Jim Cuddy, who agreed to sing on that, on that cut with us, Talk About Peace.
Oh, wow.
And we had on the chorus, we had my whole family. So my cousins.
You're talking about the video now.
No, I'm talking about
the recording of it.
Yeah.
I remember.
And we all went into the studio to sing on the chorus right. together, because Talk About Peace is a song we sing at our Passover Seders and all of our, you know, important occasions.
Nice. And my family and friends, everybody knows it.
Lovely. Everybody knows it. And so Talk About Peace, created by Sharon Bram and friends. In the music video, it featured Sharon Hampson, Bram Morrison, Randy Hampson, Ethan, Elijah, and Eva Allman, David and Tessa Lilienstein, Chris Dengeli, I hope I'm saying that right. JC Dawn Valeris, Elaine Overholt, Colin and Deb Mockery, who've been on the show, Splash and Boots, Nick Adams and Taste Leave It, and others. What a production. I wanted to share this one with our audience. So without further ado, let's all have a listen to Talk About Peace.
There's a whole lot of people in this old world living on nothing but hate.
If things don't change around pretty soon, it's gonna be too late.
They're building guns and tanks and bombs and planes, and I don't know what all. You better listen to the people when they talk about peace. Hear the children when they call. They talk about love, talk about peace, talk about a world full of happiness. Talk about love your neighbor as yourself. Talk about friendliness. Talk about do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And with thoughts like that running through your head, there's nothing good that you can't do.
Well, they've got enough equipment to destroy the world and everything that's in it.
The way I got it figured, it'll take a little while,
about 25 or 30 minutes.
Seems funny to me that when you talk about peace, well, you might be suspected of crime.
And that the people trying hardest to save the world have lived here the shortest time.
They talk about love, talk about peace, talk about a world full of happiness. Talk about love your neighbor as yourself. Talk about friendliness. Talk about do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
And with thoughts like that running through your head, there's nothing good that you can't do.
Wow, 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 wow. That's so fabulous. I can't get over how the songs stand up to the test of time. Like, it's unbelievable to me. And I wonder, is that because they're folk songs? What do you think is, what is the secret to the, this longevity, this fact that for all the four generations and continuing on, it never gets old?
Well, that's really interesting. As Bram says, to every kid, new kid born, Coming Round the Mountain is a new song. I mean, I think we've chosen good songs.
Yes.
They're very singable. They're very accessible. They're musical. I think that's one of the reasons. Talk About Peace, unfortunately, is very relevant today as it was 40 years ago. And that's a sad statement. We shouldn't be needing to talk about peace in these days. It was a wish for that to go away. But in terms of all of our repertoire, I think it's,
of course,
it's the accessibility and the musicality of it. What do you think?
Well, I just was watching some of the footage from the documentary, and someone told
that.
A story. Well, you're not supposed to know.
I don't know any of this stuff. All the secrets.
Someone said, I went backpacking in Europe in my 20s because of Sur le Pont d'Avignon. I wanted to go to Avignon and see the bridge at Avignon.
Because we sang that song.
From your song. Because you sang that song.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. There's millions of these stories. I know this. I've read some of them, but more and more will come out when the documentary comes out and all the wonderful things that you've got coming up. So in 2021, you released a live performance album called Sharon Lois and Bram, Best of the Best of Live, a collection of 25 never heard before live recordings from their North American concerts, which really enables a whole new generation to experience a live show for children by one of the most successful children's entertainment groups on the continent. So cool is that?
Totally cool.
Tell us a little bit about that.
When Randy came to me and Bram and said, we have this idea, we found these tapes, they're very good, they're cassettes, they're recorded from the board, they're not just in the air, and they're very good quality, we think we can make an album out of it. And Bram and I said, you're kidding. No way. Okay, we'll give it a listen. Well, we're absolutely thrilled with the album. And I have to say, I have renewed pride, because I could hear how well we sang, how in tune we were, how fun we were having. I mean, it just reinvented for me that experience. It was, I think it's a wonderful album, and our band sounds stunning, and it makes me proud that we work together so well.
I'll tell you, our friend Roy George knew that Grant Slater, the keyboard player, had cassettes, and for years he had been wanting to hear them. So nudged Grant, and arranged to get them digitized. And when we listened to them, we were like, wow, these sound really good. And JC and Chris, who were in the Talk About Peace video, who do our social media and all of our special projects, who are just amazing fans and friends.
They are also two grown-up fans who did not know each other till they met through us, and they live in the United States.
Wow, that's fabulous.
They pulled off a bunch of the tunes to try and narrow down what we would have to listen to, because it was 20 concerts over 7 years. Hats off to Glenn Morley. He and I sat and we figured out how one song should segue into the next, and applause. And he's just worked his magic on it to make it really feel like you were sitting through one concert.
That's so fun. You sifted through hundreds of recordings from concerts between 1989 and 1995, settling on 22 hits, including, and tell me if I'm correct in this, Rig a Jig Jig, She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain, I'm Slowly Going Crazy, Hucklebuck, Peanut Butter and Jelly, Going to the Zoo, and of course, your group's signature iconic song, Skinnamarink. This is very cool. And this new Sharon Lois and Brown with Randy vinyl, celebrating 40 years since The Elephant Show. Is this available for people to listen to? How do people get their hands on a copy of that beautiful thing?
So it's on the Sharon Lois and Brown website on our store. And it's, you know, when you were talking about the original vinyl, this vinyl has a four folder poster. It has all the lyrics. It has stories behind the songs.
Wonderful.
It really is one of those treasures. It's got never before seen pictures from behind the scenes. And really the desire of it was for people to be able to, you know, hold it in their hands again.
Yes.
And remember what it was like to have a Sharon Lois and Bram record.
And it's fabulous.
We managed to find some tracks that people who watched The Elephant Show would have seen when they watched it, but would never have had the chance to hear them since. So it was really fun to curate this record. Yeah. And again, JC and Chris produced it, and they were key with JC designed it. Chris found the pictures, just did an amazing job.
It's so incredible. This is called The Elephant Showstoppers. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you can find it on their website. And just tell us the name of your website again. It is
Sharon Lois and Brown.
Wonderful. And this, I got to tell you guys, everyone listening, this to me is the most perfect gift for a child, for your child or your grandchild, whoever's listening, and get one for you and one for them. Because it's for adults too, right? It's for children of all ages, right?
You know, I'll tell you, even if you don't have a turntable, all of the special treats that are on inside, the cover and inside, you can stream all of the tunes. And in fact, we added a couple of different versions of songs that you can listen to on the record, and ones that you can listen to on the streaming
on the streaming as well.
Yeah.
So I want to just go in through the trajectory here. After 40 years, Randy, you as a family lawyer started to branch off and perform with your mom as Sharon and Randy. And I know that you first started performing with your mother after Bram's retirement from touring in 2019. And I know he's still involved in many aspects of your group, just not in the touring part.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what happened? Was it COVID ultimately that led to the decision to keep the group going as Sharon and Randy? Can you take us through that?
No, we'd actually, Sharon, Bram, and Friends had been nominated for a Juno, and we had already booked a bunch of concert dates, including
we being
you and I.
Right.
in Saskatoon,
where the Junos, where they were supposed to
happen. Oh my goodness.
And we were in Africa, and we were
on holiday,
the two of us talking about what we were going to sing and what we were going to do. And
boom,
watching the
was
movie.
That around March 14th or around March?
It was, we flew back to Toronto. And we were supposed, the reason we came back, we were invited to go to Zanzibar and extend our trip, but we were like, no, we have to come back because we're going to the Junos. So we got home on a Monday, and
that was March, the,
whatever it was that we,
the Monday of the pre-lockdown by March.
We were leaving Friday and they canceled the Junos Thursday.
Oh my goodness.
So that was the,
one of my friends from the Canadian press had messaged me and said,
I'm on the plane, he said. What's that? Are we, is it a go or not?
And by the time he got to Saskatoon, it had been canceled. So we had several dates booked. The first or second day of the lockdown, I said, just come over. Let's just do a little Facebook Live for people and do a little bit of singing together just to see how it goes.
In your living room on a couch. I know it. Yes.
And that one had
10,000 people watching.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow.
And
that's
incredible. It just went from there. And then we decided to do like bigger concerts and we did those over Zoom. And yeah, it just went from there. And then once things lightened up, some of the stuff that we had booked just
started to come back.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And this has evolved so much. I mean, everyone says when they interview you how unusual it is for a group to stay together that long. Even the Beatles broke up. I feel like I'm bashing the Beatles. I love them. But but you've been together for almost five decades.
Right.
And I know we sort of touched on this, but and I want to just add this to our audience that you've even become in 2025 TikTok stars, which is huge. Like that's just like crazy. And I was watching some of your videos on TikTok and I was like, they're unbelievable. They keep reinventing and reimagining and keeping going on. So what do you attribute to that? I know you all loved each other and I know all of that, but there's something more. There's something in the secret sauce to your longevity and success is really, I think, the most iconic and most beloved children's music group in this nation, in this country of ours, and beyond. Before you answer that, we're going to go on another short commercial break. We'll be right back after this short message from our sponsor, back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And just before the break, I was asking you, what do you think was the secret sauce that led to your longevity and success?
You know, it's hard to know. I mean, the things that I do know are that most groups break up because of relationships. And that, you know, as Randy mentioned earlier, we were all in long-term marriages. We understood that sometimes there's struggles and sometimes there's arguments and all of that, but you work them out.
Yeah.
And we were no different. I mean, but we worked things out as best we could. And we enjoyed each other and we enjoyed, you know, when you look at the TikTok stuff, you can see we're having fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
great.
She makes us do crazy stuff and it's fun. So Graham doesn't want to do a lot, but he loves doing that stuff and it energizes him. So I think there's something about, you know, if you have music in your heart and in your life, it's forever. It doesn't, you know.
Absolutely.
And sharing it with other people, it's a gift. It's a gift both ways.
Absolutely. I read that you once attended a convention, and I'm not sure if this was directed towards Bram, but it could have been directed towards any of you. And evidently someone came up and said, thank you for our childhoods. I think it was to Bram. But my point is, when you hear that, how does that feel and how does that land for you when you hear that?
It's pretty astounding, actually. But we've heard versions of that for so many years. We've heard, I learned how to parent from you. We've heard, my life at home was horrible, and it was only you and your music that helped me get through it. I mean, there are variations on that in so many ways.
You saved my life.
Wow.
For that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's astounding on the one hand, because, you know, my parents were immigrants. They had a struggle to make it here, but I had a very good childhood, and I think my children did too. So,
yes.
And my children's friends would come and talk to me. So I know from that some of their homes weren't so receptive to the talking, but it's a bit surprising, but it's gratifying. I'm happy to know that something that we do has helped people.
Most groups at this stage of the game would be winding down, but you guys are revving up. You've got so many exciting things coming up. Let's briefly talk about some of them. You've mentioned the documentary, Sharon Lois and Bram. Can you tell us more about that and when audiences can see it?
Well, we've been working on it for many years now. Sharon Lois and Bram are the subject. Dan Slater, who is the son of Grant Slater, keyboard player,
He's a filmmaker,
and he is directing, and one of the producers, Aeschylus Poulos, who is one of the producers of the Mr. Dress-Up documentary.
Nice.
Wildling Productions is also a producer on it. We've done most of the interviews. We did a concert at the Winter Garden Theater 2 years ago, a 40th anniversary celebration concert, which is sort of a dramatic element of it. And
nice.
It's not a vanity project. Bram and I are not asked to help, figure out what it should be, which is why when Randy references an interview and I look surprised, it's because I am.
Right. Wow. Is that ever going to be a night? Well, when that happens, I remember being in the opening night audience at TIFF for the Tragically Hip. That was pretty cool. When your night happens, I hope you invite me and I'm going to have you back on to promote it because it's going to be fabulous. You also have some upcoming stage door stories talks in Brantford and Gravenhurst. Can you tell us briefly about that?
That's actually a really fun thing we're doing with my son, Ethan. Cameron Smiley is the
producer.
He's the moderator of the of the talk. And we just sit on stage. Ethan comes with his guitar and mom tells stories and we sing some songs and people ask questions. It's an adult evening. They get to have a glass of wine. It's
nice.
very interactive and
it's fun, actually.
Really fun.
I loved it the last one we did. Ethan jumped in. He had something to offer. I can't remember what it was about, but I thought that was really cool that he felt that he certainly has been around it all his life.
Yeah.
Sharon, do you think this has kept you young? Because you are young. You don't age. You do not age. I'm telling you.
Thank you.
I am so grateful because I'm really getting immense pleasure from doing this with her.
Yeah.
And she goes to the gym. She dances. She exercises 5 days a week. And she's going to be 82. So
such an inspiration.
Oh, thank you.
You have so much going on. What is the Kidchella event in Kitchener? I was like, what?
There's a museum in Kitchener, and we are going to be singing. They're calling it Kidchella. It's just a gathering
of
different musical groups through an afternoon. It's the first night of Passover, so we are getting there early and doing our set and then rushing home for our first Seder house.
Oh boy, that's lovely. Always, give a busy person something to do and they'll get it done. You have 3 children's books of songs, Skin of a Rink, One Elephant Went Out to Play, Peanut Butter and Jelly. But I was just delighted by the new board book. I want to show this to everyone, Skin of a Rink. What a great gift. Get 2 of these, everybody. One for you, one for a friend, because I sang it and did all the actions with my children and can't wait to do it now with my only grandson who's 15 months old. Oh, and I'm going to visit him in a few weeks overseas. And I'm bringing this and I can't wait. And I was very verklempt because I wanted to learn the song so that I could sing it, with, learn some of the actions so I could sing it with you guys at the end, if I'm allowed to, in an a cappella version. But let's just talk for a minute about the book, Skin and Meringue, Sharon Lewis and Bram with Randy Hampson, illustrated by Quinn Lang. It's just gorgeous. The board book was released in July of 2022. I have it right here. Skin and Meringue is your song. And there's something about this song that has made it so loved by generations of children of all ages. What does the song Skin and Meringue mean to you? And why does it make people verklempt? Because I cried when I was practicing it. And I know I'm one of many. It's and this book sort of brings it all together. What is it about Skin and Meringue?
Well, Skin and Meringue is a love song. It's very easily sung. People immediately cotton onto it and they sing it to each other, children to their parents, their grandparents, the grandparents to them. People sing it at weddings, to, you know, for friends who are getting married. It's just, it's universally accessible and it carries a very sweet message.
That's it.
And it's easy to access. You don't have to be, you know, you can be anyone to sing it.
I also think that maybe people who don't say I love you to each other
can
might
sing
feel
it.
Okay singing I love you to each
That's
other.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I know that people have communicated with us through the social media that they didn't hear I love you.
Yeah.
And that when Sharon Lewis and Bram were singing it, they thought they were singing to them.
I love that. Yeah. A good arrangement, good songs, good musicians, good people are part of what makes this all work. What else do you think attributes to the success of you being the most popular children's group in the country? I'm going to give this to Randy.
I think that the fact that they're genuine human beings who really liked and respected children and treated them like people, they didn't talk down to them.
Yes.
That the person that you would meet in the grocery store line is the person that you saw on television.
Yeah.
And they always made time for their fans.
Yeah.
And I know that people, when they come into the lives of Sharon Lewis and Bram, they become part of the family. That's just always been the way.
Lovely. There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show. And of course, we're going to ask it to you, Sharon. I'll start with you. What is bliss for Sharon Hampson?
Bliss. Bliss is having a wonderful, devoted family who care about each other and who I care about and who care about me, and the pleasures we have being together, sometimes with food, sometimes with music, and sometimes just hanging out.
Lovely. And Randy, what is bliss for Randy Hampson?
Well, I'm not going to be that original, but I mean, it's making music with my mother and with my partner, Jim, and with my sons and with our family and friends, and now getting to make music with a larger audience too.
So, so fantastic. Okay. I wanted to ask you if we could close out the show the way we opened it by singing everyone's favorite song, Skin and Meringue. Would it be possible for you to sing us out of the show by singing Skin and Meringue a cappella? And would I be allowed to sing along with you? Is that okay?
Sure, yeah, of course.
To sing along with you and practice all of the hand motions and actions.
Get ready.
For my grandson. But I'm going to count you in on three.
Hold on, Julia.
Okay, no problem. You can give me the signal and then I'll do my count in to make it feel like when you were on the TV show. I'll count you in. In three, two, one, to the floor.
Skin a meringue, ding, 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 I love you in the morning and in the afternoon. I love you in the evening underneath the moon.
Skinnamarinky dinky dink, skinnamarinky doo. I love you. I love you singing, Judy. I love you. You give a great interview. I love you. Sing together. I love you too.
Wow, that was fantastic. That was so thrilling. I don't know what it is, but it does make me verklempt and emotional. This song, and I know I'm not alone, it makes people happy. It just gives you a lilt. It's a feeling of nostalgia, joy, and just sheer bliss. It's pure and innocent, and it feels timeless like both of you. Oh. I want to thank you so much, Sharon and Randy, for being on the show today. It's been such an honor to have you here.
Great interview.
You're so lovely. You do your research. Wow.
Thank you.
And you know what it's like to sing with your daughter.
I do. Although I've passed the torch on to her. I'm out of it now. But I want to say, what is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and get all of this wonderful information about how to get your wonderful books, especially this new board book, Skinnamarink, I love it, and your album, your new vinyl, which, guys, by the way, it's a real trend to have vinyl these days. It's coming back. How can people get all of your stuff and get connected to you? What's the best way for people to do that?
Well, our socials are all Sharon Lois Bram or Sharon Lois Ann Bram. Either one will get you to TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We have a YouTube channel that has tons of content on there. And we have a website with hyperlinks to all of those as well. And that's SharonLoisBram.com. And you can find an email address there and a booking agent and all of those sorts of things as well. So I appreciate you asking.
I'm so glad she knows all this stuff because I don't.
Well, it just this mother-daughter thing also, just to see you guys together also really, it's just wonderful. And I'm so happy for you guys. Each week, everyone, we spotlight someone fabulous like Sharon Hampson and Randy Hampson on the show. So if you are someone fabulous like they are, please reach out to us. If you're a singer, songwriter, musician, reach out to us as well. Author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. What did you love about today's show? That's easy. Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And for those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you get connected to your passion and purpose. Reach out to me at findyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would love to thank our wonderful guests, Sharon and Randy Hampson, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yannuzziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.